Please turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, we want to read verses 8 through 11. When you study the book of Revelation, keep in mind that in chapters 2 and 3, the Lord sent a personal message to each of the seven congregations in the area known as Asia. He pointed out the strengths of these congregations, and he commended them for the things that they were doing right, but he also pointed out their errors, and he encouraged all of them to repent that needed to. There were two congregations who did not receive any words of reproof at all. The church in Philadelphia received the highest praise, and the Lord said that he set before that congregation an open door, and no one could shut it. That congregation received the highest praise and not one word of reproof. The church in Smyrna that we're about to read about also did not receive any words of reproof. The members of that congregation were undergoing great tribulation, and the Lord encouraged that congregation to remain faithful. Well, let's read the Lord's message, Revelation 2, starting at verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. This morning our lesson was based on the crown of glory that is mentioned in 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. We pointed out from the scriptures that in order to receive that crown of glory, we must practice temperance, we must abide by God's rules, and we must exercise patience. Those are three requirements that we must meet in order to receive that beautiful crown of glory. Now, according to the scriptures that we're studying this evening, receiving a crown of life requires faithfulness. So we want to consider another requirement that we must meet in order to receive an eternal home in heaven. Now, that's what the Lord was talking about when he mentioned a crown. Many passages mention a crown of life, a crown of glory, a crown of righteousness. They're all referring to an eternal home in heaven. And in order to receive that great blessing when the Lord returns, we must fulfill our responsibilities. We pointed out three of them this morning. This evening, we want to concentrate on the fact that faithfulness is a requirement for receiving a crown of life. We want to examine these passages that record the Lord's message to the congregation in Smyrna. And then we want to consider something that occurred in the book of Acts that illustrates the importance of remaining faithful to the Lord. Let's begin with this message to the congregation in Smyrna that we've already read. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 contains the introduction. Notice that it was addressed to the angel or the messenger of the church in Smyrna. So the congregation in Smyrna is specifically being addressed in this particular message. Now we understand that the Apostle John was the inspired writer. He was the one who recorded this message, but according to chapter 1, this message was actually spoken by the Lord. Notice how the Lord described himself in the introduction to this message. The Lord described himself as the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Now, those are just a few words, but there's a tremendous amount of information revealed in those few words. We understand from the gospel accounts that Jesus endured cruel treatment when he was crucified. However, the Lord persevered through all of it. He faced death. And not only did he face death, but he overcame it. Keep those thoughts in mind when we consider the fact that our Lord described himself as the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Jesus faced very cruel treatment when he was crucified, but he persevered through all of that. He faced death, and he overcame it. Now, by making those statements, our Lord was informing the church in Smyrna that he was very familiar with ill treatment. The Bible teaches that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are in the book of Hebrews. He faced all of the difficulties that we face, but the book of Hebrews says, without sin. Jesus is able to empathize with us and our weaknesses because of the experiences that he had when he was here fulfilling his ministry on earth. That's why he's qualified to serve as our merciful and faithful high priest. He came to earth as a man. He faced all the difficulties that we faced, but he faced his without sin. Matter of fact, not long before our Lord was arrested, he spoke some things to his apostles to comfort their troubled hearts. Those things that he said are recorded in John chapters 14, 15, and 16. And at the close of chapter 16, our Lord informed his apostles, "I have overcome." That's a great message of victory. And Jesus said that before he was even arrested. He knew what was going to happen to him. But when the Lord was introducing this message to the church in Smyrna, he let the members of that congregation know that he was very familiar with ill treatment. He never gave in. He persevered. He faced death, and he overcame it. I believe our Lord said a whole lot in just a few words, but he was passing on some very important information to this congregation. Now, after introducing this message in verse 8, the Lord stated in verse 9 that he was very much aware of the situation that this church was facing. He said that he knew its works, he knew its tribulation, and he knew its poverty. The Lord also knew that the followers of Satan were blaspheming this congregation. He let this church know that he was aware of the difficulties that were being faced. You know, when I think about these people blaspheming the congregation that the Lord is addressing in these verses, I can't help but think about some of the things that were said to the Lord as he was being tried and as he was being crucified. Some of the most hateful statements could possibly be made. Our Lord did not retaliate. Well, he set the great example before us. But Jesus let this congregation know that he was aware of the situation that it was facing. Now, after the Lord let this church know that he knew what it was going through, in verses 10 and 11 of Revelation 2, he exhorted this church to remain faithful. Now, we need to point out in our study of these verses that the Lord did not remove the difficulties that this congregation was facing. He could have, but he did not. He let this church know very clearly he was very much aware of what was going on. He knew about the difficulties that that congregation was facing. He did not remove them. However, instead of removing those difficulties that were being faced, let's consider what he did do. He told this church not to fear the things that it would suffer. You know, fear can have a very harmful effect upon us. The Bible has a lot to say about fear, about the dangers of fear, and how to overcome it. I believe it was the Apostle John who said, "Perfect love casteth out fear." The Apostle Paul said, "God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The Bible has a lot to say about fear. Well, the Lord told this church not to fear the things that it would suffer. Now, as we've already pointed out, this church was already facing trials, and the Lord knew what they were. But the Lord said there would be more. He said that the trouble would go so far that the devil would cast some of them into prison. So, while the Lord let this congregation know that he was very much aware of the difficulties that were being faced, he did not remove those difficulties. He said, "Don't fear them." I've often wondered how these brethren must have felt when they learned that as difficult as things were, they were not going to stop. As a matter of fact, they were going to continue. There would be additional tribulation. The devil would actually cast some of these people into prison. Now, would Satan actually personally do that? No, but he would be working through people who would accomplish that on his behalf. You see, people in the first century were undergoing great hardship because of their faith. We would do very well to study this message very carefully and to learn from it. But the Lord said there would be additional troubles ahead. Some of them would even be cast into prison. But instead of removing the difficulties that this congregation was facing, he went so far as to say that this tribulation would last 10 days. Now, is that a literal period of time? I don't believe so. I believe the Lord was letting this church know that tribulation would last a relatively short time. In other words, it would not be permanent. It would eventually come to an end. And as he was encouraging this congregation, he promised a crown of life to those who would remain faithful. And then he went so far as to say that those who overcame would not be hurt by the second death. Now, exactly what is this second death? Let's look at Revelation 21 and read verse 8. John tells us exactly what it is. He talks about some people who will suffer it, but then he describes it for us. Revelation 21 and verse 8 says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, when the Lord was addressing this message to the church in Smyrna, he said that those who would remain faithful and overcome the difficulties that were being faced, they would not be hurt by the second death. Rather, they would be blessed with the beautiful crown of life. Now, this is the point that I want to make in our study. Tribulation could have caused some of the Christians in Smyrna to forsake the Lord. But they had to remain faithful to the Lord to receive the crown of life. Tribulation can have a very harmful effect upon the Lord's followers. Jesus made that clear in the parable of the sower. He talked about the soil known as the stony soil. The seed was sown on that soil. And when the Lord explained that particular part of his parable, he said that had reference to someone who receives the word and responds in the right way, but in a short time, relatively speaking, tribulation would cause that particular person to fall away. Tribulation can have a very harmful effect. Well, the Lord said that those who overcame and who did not give in to the difficulties that they were facing would not be hurt by the second death. Furthermore, they would be blessed with a crown of life. So tribulation could have caused the Christians in Smyrna to forsake the Lord, but they had to be faithful to receive the crown of life. I don't believe that the Lord actually tests us personally. I do believe, however, according to the scriptures, that he does allow us to be tested. The Bible teaches that God tested Abraham. Of course, we're familiar with that story. Abraham passed his test. But at the end of that trial, that voice from heaven said, "Now I know that you fear God." Abraham faced a great test, but he passed it very well. Why the Lord decided not to remove these difficulties from the church in Smyrna, I don't know. I'll have to ask him one day. He knew what was best, and he encouraged this congregation to be steadfast, to be faithful, never give up, and overcome. Well, we've looked at the message that the Lord sent to the church in Smyrna. Let's now turn our attention to an event that's recorded in the book of Acts. As we do so, let's go to Acts chapter 27. We'll read about something that actually took place that illustrates the importance of being faithful. Acts chapter 27. Let's begin reading at verse 27. We'll read down through verse 37. Acts 27, verse 27. "But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, 'Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved.' Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, 'This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you.' And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship, 260 souls." The Apostle Paul made a journey from Caesarea to Rome, and we read about that journey in chapters 27 and 28. Of the book of Acts. Now, I think it's interesting that earlier Paul had warned against making this particular part of the journey. But the one who was in charge of the ship wouldn't listen to him. He listened to someone else, and decided to make the journey. Well, this ship was loaded with 276 passengers. That must have been a good-sized ship. There were a lot of people on board. But during that trip, there was a violent storm that developed, and it was so serious that according to verse 20, as stated earlier, there was no hope that anyone would be saved. Now that's a pretty desperate situation. A great storm has developed, and the ones who were in this ship did not see any way that anyone could be saved. Now, verse 30 that we read informs us that some of the sailors wanted to abandon ship. But Paul gave them a warning in verse 31. In his warning, he said that they had to remain in the ship to be saved. Let's read verse 31 again. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved." A number of years ago, I was reading my Bible, as I try to do every morning, and I came upon that passage, and I'd read it many times. But I thought, you know, there's a very important lesson to be found in that statement. Now, Paul said it in regard to some people who wanted to abandon the ship. And they wanted to abandon the ship because they perhaps thought that they had a better chance of making it if they would go overboard rather than stay on the ship and it would be destroyed. But Paul said they had to abide in the ship in order to be saved. Now later on in verses 41 through 44, Luke showed that the storm indeed broke the ship apart. But all the passengers escaped safely to land. Verse 41, "And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they, which could swim, should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land." 276 passengers. Not one was lost. Now, what's the point that we want to make from that? That actually occurred. This was an event that took place in the life of the Apostle Paul. He made a trip to Rome. It was important for him to make that trip. And something could have ended that trip for him very quickly, this storm. But God protected him. But I've always thought it was interesting that some people thought that they'd be better off outside of the ship. They wanted to leave. But Paul said they had to abide in the ship in order to be saved. You see, eventually it would go into a place where it would be stuck, it would be broken apart, but then they would be able to escape safely to land. Now that storm caused some of the sailors to want to leave the ship, but they had to remain in it in order to be saved. That's a very important point. How does that relate to what we've already studied concerning the church in Smyrna? Tribulation could have caused the Christians in Smyrna to forsake the Lord and leave his church. But they had to be faithful to receive a crown of life. Now, if we're not careful, we might begin to develop some reasoning that's not good. Those sailors, I assume they were experienced men concerning sea travel. They thought they'd be better off abandoning ship. But it was necessary for them to remain in the ship a while longer until things would work out. The church in Smyrna was facing difficulties, and there were more difficulties ahead. The Lord made that very clear. But they had to remain faithful in order to receive the crown of life. The people in Smyrna, in the congregation, could have thought like this: I'm being persecuted because I'm a Christian. If I give up on the Lord, I won't have to face any more persecution. That's not good reasoning. As a matter of fact, that type of reasoning will cause a person to lose a soul. But when you find out, and you already know that things are difficult, but they're going to become more difficult, sometimes that can affect our thinking. We need to listen to the Lord rather than to our own thinking. The Lord said, "Be faithful unto death. I will give you a crown of life." I wonder how many times those brethren in Smyrna read that message. I wonder if they read it every day. They underwent true hardship. That hardship could have caused some of them to give up, to forsake the Lord. But the Lord said, "You be faithful, you overcome, and I will give you a crown of life." I don't know what lies ahead. I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet. But I'm very concerned about things that I hear and read concerning the feelings that people have toward religion. I'm very concerned about that. Our nation was established in such a way that we were guaranteed freedom of religion. But a movement has been around for a long, long time to try to destroy that freedom. I'm very concerned about some legislation that's being passed. It has to do with speaking out on certain moral issues. I mentioned to Teresa the other day, I said, if things continue as they are, someone might listen to some of our messages on the website and hear what the Bible has to say about the sin of homosexuality, and we might lose our tax exemption. I appreciate what she said. She said, "Let them take it." Well, we've got to be faithful in order to receive the crown of life. The church in Smyrna was undergoing great difficulties, but the Lord said, "You be faithful." And you know he knew whereof he spoke. Did he face difficulties? Well, he certainly did. Did he give up? Never. Did he persevere? He certainly did. He even faced death. And then on the third day, he came out of that tomb, just like he said that he would. He overcame death. Well, that's a great message of encouragement for us. The Lord understands exactly what we go through. He knows everything better than we know ourselves. We need to remember that he's in control, and we just need to do what he says. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Well, I hope that you will consider what's written in this message to the church in Smyrna and be encouraged by it. I'd like to know, as a matter of curiosity, how often those brethren read that message. I suspect that that part of the Revelation letter was well worn. But those are words to live by, and they are words that will help us. If you'd like to respond to the invitation, we'd invite you to do so as we stand to sing the first verse of the psalm that's been selected. Let's stand and sing.